We're doing the Ntivot Shalom on Parshat Teruma. The topic is the prime location of the Shekhinah is down below. The Medrash says in the Song of Songs, in Shir HaShirim, on the verse, Bati legani achoti chala. I've come to my garden, my sister, my beloved, my bride. Bati lagan in k'tiv kan. The verse doesn't say I've come to a garden, but rather, Ela legani. I've come to my garden. Leginunai lemakom shaya ikarim etchila. God saying, I came down to the place that was originally my prime location. Veikar shechina betachtonim haita. Initially, the prime location of the Shekhinah was down below. Hadau dichtiv. The Medrash says, this is what the verse says, back in Genesis. Vayishmeu et kol Hashem Elokim mitalech bagan. Adam and Eve heard God walking through the garden, right? After they sinned. So you see that the Shekhinah originally was located down below Legani, in my garden, so to speak. Chata Adam HaRishon, then man, Adam, sinned. Nistalka Shekhinah L'Rukiah HaRishon. So the Shekhinah went up to the first layer of heaven. Chata Kain, then Cain sinned. Nistalka L'Rukiah Sheni, the Shekhinah arose to the second level of heaven. Chata Enosh, then the generation of Enosh started worshipping idols, they sin, nistalka l'rukiah shlishi, the Shekhinah rose to the third level. Chata dor ha-mabul, the generation of the flood sinned, they were stealing people's wives, they were stealing from one another, nistalka l'rukiah revi'i, so the Shekhinah went up to the fourth level. Chata dor ha-migdal, then the people built the Tower of Babel, they rebelled against heaven, and then nistalka l'rukiah hamishi, God distanced himself to the fifth level. Chatu anshei Sodom, the Sodomites sinned, Nistalka l'rukiah shishi, God ascended to the sixth level. Chatu ha-mitzrim bimei Avraham, the Egyptians sinned in the days of Avram. Nistalka l'rukiah ha-shvi'i. So the Shekhinah went up to the seventh heaven. Kenegdan amdu shiva tzadikim v'oridu al ha'aretz. Corresponding to this, you had seven pious people, seven righteous people, who brought the Shekhinah down. Zacha Avraham oridah mishvi'i l'shishi. Avram purified himself, he brought the Shekhinah down one level to the sixth heaven. Amad Yitzchak v'oidam shishi l'chamishi, Yitzchak stood in prayer, he brought the Shekhinah down another level. Amad Yaakov v'oidam chamishi l'rvi'i, Yaakov brought it down to the fourth heaven. Amad Levi v'oidam l'rvi'i l'shlishi, Levi brought it to the third. Amad Kehat, Levi's grandson, Levi's son Kehat, brought it down mishlishi l'sheni to the second level. Amad Amram v'oidam l'sheni l'echad, shu'u rishon. Amram brought it down to the first heaven. Amad Moshe v'oridah la'aretz. Moshe brought the Shekhinah down to earth. Ve'im atsharat Shekhinah alei, ve'yom shukam ha'mishkan. So when did the Shekhinah come down back to earth? On the day of the inauguration of the tabernacle. As the verse says, Vayhi b'yom kalot Moshe lakim tamishkan. The verse says, Moshe concluded setting up the Mishkan, and God appeared within the Mishkan. So the Medrash is telling you that's when the Shekhinah returned, and that's what the verse in Song of Songs says, Bati legani achoti kala. I've come back to my garden, my sister, my bride. So we have to understand, this Medrash is obviously telling us an insight, and if we look at our growth in the service of Hashem, we can understand what the Medrash is saying. Dine yesh bet rechim b'avodat Hashem. Whenever we speak about our service of Hashem, there are two paths. Haderech shel yechidei sgula mitalim lebchinat kodesh kodeshim. You have those individuals who get up to the heights, what's called the Holy of Holies. Shemitnaarim legamrei molam hazeh ad shelem kol kesher shaychut kol inyanei olam hazeh. They're completely severed from this world. They came to the Chazon Ish and they asked him about playing soccer on Shabbos, or watching a soccer game on Shabbos. So he asked them, what's a soccer game? So they started describing, people get dressed and this and that, and they run after a bull. And he looked at them and he said, grown men run around in pajamas after a little bull? So he was in a different place. Like, okay, grown men? That's what grown men are going to do? And other grown men are going to pay to watch them run after a little bull?
We do the same in Texas.
Huh?
We do the same in Texas. Uh-huh.
Okay. Vehem bivchinat miale bar Hashem miyakum mimkom kodesho. These are the people who are described as those who ascend the mountain of Hashem, who arise in God's holy place. Shemitalim nesei madrigot bar Hashem mimkom kodesho. These people arise to the heights of heights when it comes to their service of Hashem. So we said, these are the holy of holies. These are people who can sanctify every limb. As the verse says, someone whose hands are clean. Everything they do is clean. These are people whose actions are completely clean. They are completely pristine in their thoughts and in everything they do. Their hearts are completely pure. Their soul is clean and their mouths are clean, that what they say is clean and pure. So if they're serving Hashem, as it says, they've ascended the mountain of Hashem, even when the Shekhinah is distant, so to speak, in the seventh heaven, they're serving Hashem because they've raised themselves from everything down below. And so whatever they do, it's as though they're in the Holy of Holies. So these are people who can really purify their thoughts and their actions. But then we go on to the service of Hashem that's relevant to the masses, to the common folk, that serve Hashem from within this world. People who have a job, people who are very busy thinking about whether the stock market's going up or stock market's going down, whether it's going to rain tonight, whether it's going to be warmer, cooler. Is there going to be more traffic on the way home? Less traffic? So they're dealing in this world. But within this world, a person can also deal with the thought, I want to do it in the way God wants. I want to do it in a way that gives nachas, so to speak, to my Creator. And before I'm going to act, I'm going to think it through. Is this what God wants me to do? So, two approaches to the service of Hashem. You have the people who can sanctify everything they do. Everything they do is on a very holy level. Then you have the people who are busy with the mundane, but they can make the mundane holy. So when we speak about the patriarchs, everything they did was on the highest level. And that's why they didn't have a problem with the fact that the Shekhinah was more distant, because they had elevated themselves. Their service was on the highest level. And when we left Mitzrayim, God says, I took you on the wings of eagles, and I brought you to me. It's as though God says, I lifted you up to me in heavens. As far as I was from the world, I brought you up to where I was. But that's God picking us up. What's called in Kabbalistic or Hasidic terms, Itaruta Dile'ela. There are two concepts you guys have probably encountered already. Itaruta Dile'ela is when from above God showers upon us. And then there's Itaruta Ditata, from below, where we take the responsibility and we push forward. And then we hit the third month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. We come to the month of the receiving of the Torah. We come to Mount Sinai, and Moshe goes up the mountain. So Moshe thinks, okay, this is the way we're going to receive the Torah. Everyone's going to work their way up. And God calls him from the mountain, and God says, no, I don't want the people climbing up the mountain. I want the people to bring me down to them. And Hashem is telling Moshe, the job of the Jewish people is to bring God into this world. Not to separate and go up and be with me up on top, but on the contrary, bring me down to the mundane, to life down below. And that is the essence of creation. A recurring theme throughout the Netivot Shalom, that God created the world because He said, I want a resting place down below. Angels I have up above, I don't need them. But I need people. People who are busy with the mundane. People who deal with the day-to-day. And they will bring my presence, my holiness, to life down below.
Like a stimulation from below creates a stimulation from above, right?
That he didn't say. That's another idea, but that's not what he's saying. And that's the idea, says the Netivot Shalom, that God descended on Mount Sinai. That Hashem wanted to descend. He wanted that He will come down, so to speak. He will suffuse what's going on down below. And after we conclude the stance at Sinai, so then God tells us, now build a Mishkan. And I want to be in your midst. Hashem is saying, I want to live among you. At Sinai, there was a one-time revelation, and then God disappears. So Hashem says, no. We want to hold on to that idea. We want me in your midst. Build me a home. The prime nachas that Hashem has is when a Jew can be busy with his day-to-day, and within that see Hashem. And that's better than what the angels do, because we have a Yetzer Hara. If we can pause here, I want to give you a small example of what this is. This is you, 10 years after you left Machon Meir. You're busy at your job, and the sun is starting to set, and you didn't daven mincha. And you really want to finish the project you're working on, and you want to blot it out of your mind that the sun is setting. And you keep looking out the window, seeing the sun setting, and you keep telling yourself, I'm going to catch a mincha. And the difference between stopping what you're doing and catching that mincha, or continuing what you're doing and then saying, shucks, I missed it. We all know those shucks, right? Where it's like half a shucks. Like, shucks that I didn't care enough to stop what I was doing to catch that mincha. It's not, you know. We have that all the time, where we let things just pass us by. But mincha is probably the hardest prayer of the day. Mincha is where I have to stop what I'm doing and bring God back into the picture. And if I can do mincha right, then my whole day is different. So this is what our sages taught. The verse says, go out and see the crown that King Solomon's mother made him on the day of his wedding, on the day that was of prime happiness. Our sages say, the wedding was Matan Torah, that was Sinai. Prime happiness was when we built the temple. The wedding was when the Shekhinah actually came down, but didn't stay down. The prime happiness is when we build a Beit HaMikdash or a Mishkan, and then Hashem is in our midst. And that's why it's called the day of prime happiness. Just like the prime part of the wedding is when you go home. You know, all the dancing and the chuppah and everything's great, but where is it all headed for? It's headed for the family that's starting. The fact that that night, the two go and they're on their own. That's the prime happiness of the wedding. There you've actually culminated the wedding. Everyone thinks, oh, the wedding's great. Oh, maybe. The wedding is great. No, the wedding's a lot of fun. The wedding's great. Everything's great. But it's leading up to something, to the starting of a Jewish home. That start is when you cross the threshold of the door. Yes?
Increasing Hashem's kingdom.
I'm not talking about the what's going to happen later that night. I mean the mere fact that the two walk into the house together. The mere fact that now they're starting their home. That moment, that's the culmination of the wedding.
It's the threshold. It's not the fact that they're going to have a child.
Later on, that's another point. But they're starting the home when they walk through that threshold. They walk in the door and close the door. And they're in a house alone. Now, that's what the wedding was all about. They're going to be intimate. They're going to bring children to the world and all that. That's wonderful. But the home that started, the fact that they started a home, that's where the prime happiness comes in. Yes? Benny? Okay.
I was wondering about the first part of the Midrash. It's like, the more people are messing up, Hashem is getting more distant from that. But if somebody is getting sicker, you wouldn't put the medicine further away from them. So I'm not getting the...
That's a good question.
Okay. It so happens when someone's sick, if you use the analogy, that's the ultimate time when Hashem is by the bed. So in that respect, when someone's sick, actually they're closest to Hashem, Hashem is over the bed. But that's using it as an analogy only.
Yeah.
Depends on the type of sickness. We're talking about someone who's addicted to something that they're doing. Like, let's say that somebody... if we equate idol worship or whatever with, let's say, doing heroin, the more that you do heroin, the drugs might be, or the
heroin? Sickness?
What do you call it? The stuff that gets you better?
Medicine.
Medicine. The medicine might be in the same place, but you're, in a sense, drawing further from it. Because the more that you're doing it, the more that you're drawing yourself further from that thing that's there. the same time. So even though you're no longer in that position and it's now further away, the Shekhinah, maybe it's no longer in that same place, but you're the one drawing further from it as opposed to God drawing you further away from it.
But it said in the Yerushalayim that God drew himself further to the first and second, third, fourth heaven. So it's nice what you're saying, but it doesn't seem to conflict, to agree with the pshat of the...
But it's the same... It's the same... I would say it's... You can see it from either way. Like, if you could say God is pulling it further away, or you can say that God's purpose of creation is whatever the, you know, whatever the timeline of X, Y, and Z is, and by you going further away, it's as if God is pulling it away. But it's because of your result.
Seems like a creative reading.
Wait, but you said that the more bad you do, the further God goes away, right?
Here we were talking about the mass is doing bad.
Right, and that God goes further away. Am I the only one that seems to think that makes perfect sense?
No, the Masechta Rosh Hashanah talks about the Shekhinah leaving and standing in place.
Okay.
And the people
so people are waiting.
Bad,
just
God goes further.
Yeah.
Is there like a practical difference we can see that like the Shekhinah at level 4 we can see, oh, people didn't live as long when Shekhinah was at level 4 compared to level 3, or there was something different about it? Otherwise, I don't know how to relate to it other than that like, you know, bad distances God, but I don't even know what that like does, or what's the, other than that, is itself bad.
Okay, let's hear everyone and then we'll see. Yeah? Elad, I'm sorry, Elad wanted something?
Oh, I was just trying to say, like, maybe, like, the fact that it's farther is medicine, because when people see how far away it is, when people like Noah or Abraham tried to make them do chupa, it would be more effective.
Like, right here?
Yeah, but then the mass is already... You have one person in a generation doing well, and everybody else, okay. That's also people's lives. They might also want to do good, they might also want to be happy, they might also want to serve Hashem, maybe they're just... I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
What is the difference between the Shekhinah and God?
Okay, it's a good question. We'll see. Maybe we'll see still today. Yes.
So you see an example of the Shekhinah leaving when the second temple was being destructed, and the cherubim were not looking at each other. They were looking away. It's in Rosh Hashanah, the sect of Rosh Hashanah. It says he moves to 10 different places, you know, from the courtyard to the walls to the midbar, you know, and that's how he goes away. And he pulls himself away from the Jewish people when they're not acting right, and they weren't acting right, so I guess he's pulling that Shekhinah away, because that's not a proper place for him to dwell in some sort of, like, filth or non-tahar type of deal. It's just not where Hashem needs to be.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't the masses also have a chance as a nation, let's say, or people to do tshuva?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, Mr. Baron.
Isn't the Shekhinah the same thing as the presence of God in the world? He asked what's the difference between
right.
Shekhinah and God.
So that's
the same thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
That's like a weird question. Since the work of Moshe's hand is indestructible, does that mean that since the Shekhinah was brought into the world by Moshe, it can never leave? And you can also say the Western Wall has the Shekhinah. And that can't be destroyed either, right?
So, does it say it was never destroyed?
I mean, the Western Wall is still standing.
But what does the Gemara say? That whatever Moshe built was what? It says was never destroyed? Or does it say was never captured by the enemies?
It was never affected.
Let's see. It's a Gemara in Tanis. Might also be in Sota, but the Gemara says, Moshe ve'Aaron lo sholtu oyveim b'maaseh yadeim. The enemies did not take control of what they had erected.
Sota, or which one?
No, I'm telling you what the Gemara says. It's fine. Okay. Fine. It's, okay, but it's still food for thought, that's for sure.
Can you say the question?
Huh?
Can
We're still in the question.
I haven't said anything. I'm listening to everyone else, so I'm waiting. So Marcel asked if people sinned and the Shekhinah distanced itself. When you think that when they sin, they need the Shekhinah closer. I could answer you, but in all honesty, I want to think about it. There are a few answers, but I'd rather think it through.
What was it that they're
because their questions are also very important. Meaning, what relevance is there to the Shekhinah being closer and further? There's a lot to be said, but let's hold off. I'd rather think about it, and then let's revisit it on Thursday. Okay?
Sounds good.
I don't like giving answers if I don't know a source, if I don't have a clear source for what I'm saying, that this is applicable here, so then it becomes guesswork. You know, maybe this and maybe that, maybe the other thing. Right now, I can't think of a source that actually addresses it. There are different sources that touch on the subject. There's a Medrash that says God doesn't like being close to us when we're sinning. He doesn't want to see firsthand, so to speak. He doesn't want to be real close and see it. And we learned a Drasha Saran that indicated when God distanced himself in the desert, that it was for our benefit because we would have been punished more severely if God were closer to our midst. We did learn that concept in a Drasha Saran. So it's a double-edged sword. If God is more distant, then we also benefit from it in that we're not going to be held to such a tight measurement, such a tight expectation, because at the end of the day, God isn't like on top of us. And this concept is reiterated in the Shulchan Aruch in the very beginning. But all those are not directly relevant to God going from one heaven to the other heaven, meaning they're relevant to other sources. I just want to think through if we have a source that's actually very direct to this, as opposed to just a concept we encounter, which we could copy-paste to here, because then maybe we should copy-paste many other answers to here. So let's see. Like the Gemara he quoted is very relevant, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, about the Shekhinah's exile. So let's hold off. Let's wait, and if you send me an email on Wednesday or Thursday, then Bezrat Hashem, I'll have time to look into it, and Thursday night we could get back into it.
Okay, well,
yes?
Sorry, we're going further on this tangent, but if we're here, then I can't feel that it's only bothering me, but like God not being physical, how is it that he can draw further away? And the idea of the Shekhinah, it seems like it's... it's very off topic, but it's like it seems to be dividing God, and it seems to be...
That's if you assume that a heaven is like there. But if you understand that when we speak about seven heavens, we're not talking about physical heavens. And so when we speak about
distancing himself,
it's not physical at all. Right. It's not a physical concept. It's a question of how God reveals himself, meaning what perception does he give us of himself? Not that he changes this way or changes that way. It's our perception of his revelation.
He changes our perception of him.
Correct, just like Din and Rachamim. God is a constant. But from our perception, sometimes he reveals to us the side of Din and sometimes the side of Rachamim. He didn't change. We use terms to describe how God goes from his throne of justice to his throne of mercy. But those are borrowed terms to make it sound nice. Doesn't literally mean that. Same thing here. Seven heavens. It's a concept. It's a way of expressing that God is distancing himself in our terminology. But it doesn't, like you said, doesn't literally mean he said, hey, bring me my throne. Let's ride up there. Yes?
You think maybe that God's presence is always the same and constant. Our ability collectively and individually change to perceive God dependent on our behavior. I mean, if we were at this level where the mountain was on us and we really felt it, it would be, like they say in Messianic times, yes, we could sin, but it would be like jumping into fire. You just realize that it would happen right away so clearly to you, you don't want to do it. And maybe when we make mistakes, we distance ourselves from this Shekhinah that's already, that's always there at the same thing. Maybe, just a thought.
I hear. There are definitely sources that support that. Yeah. Okay, let's try to finish the idea here. So it says that when Moshe erected the tabernacle, so then the Shekhinah suffused, the Shekhinah filled up the tabernacle, Moshe couldn't enter, and that's the idea of bringing one's wife home, that now it's as though Hashem says, I'm home, I'm here. And Moshe couldn't enter until God calls him into the tabernacle. And based on this, we can understand what Rashi says.
It's when Moshe was on the mountain?
No, this is after they built the Mishkan. Okay. The pasuk says, Vasu li mikdash. They will make a temple for me. Rashi says, Vasu li lishmi, in my name. What's Rashi telling me? Every mitzvah is for in God's name. The idea here is, this should be my house. They should make their temple as my house so that I could, so to speak, come home. The mitzvah isn't just to make some temple where God's Shekhinah could appear, but rather they should make it as a God's house. This is God's house we're going to. And that's the idea of Yikhu li teruma, take the truma in my name, again, for the sake of building my house. And just as Am Yisrael were given the command in Vasuli Mikdash, and I will rest in their midst, the same idea is true for every individual. And that's why the Torah concludes and says, V'chein ta'asu, and so you, the masses, shall do. What's the Torah saying? Every generation, every one of us has this mitzvah of creating the temple within himself. Making himself a resting place for the Shekhinah. As the Torah says, V'shachanti betocham, I will rest within them, within the people of Israel, within each and every one of them. Huh?
I said a person has a mikdash ma'at.
Yeah. And we find this idea that the temple has levels of holiness. You have the external altar, then you have the Kodesh, then the Kodesh Kodoshim, and the same is true in one's body. You have the mind that's supposed to be the Holy of Holies. That's where a person is supposed to focus his thoughts, what's important in life. You have the heart that corresponds to the Heichal, where a person focuses his desires. And then you have the regular limbs that we use for the mundane things that correspond to the external altar. Then you have the fire that continues burning. And that's the fire, that the drive that a person has, and a person has to focus his drive. That's a, you know, it's like a, that's going to define a lot of our zest. And that's what Hashem says. My prime purpose with this world is to have a house down below. That means within each person, and that's where a person has to think: how much holiness do I have? How much am I a resting place for the Shekhinah? And just as we began by discussing how in the world Hashem distanced himself as the world sinned, so too with each individual, the person has to know that actions that we take distance the Shekhinah from each of us. And when a person can fix that, that's when he feels the Shekhinah coming back and resting within him. And that is the mitzvah, they will make a mishkan and I will rest in their midst. And based on this concept, he concludes, we can understand the verse in Tehillim. Achat shalti me'et Hashem. King David says, there's one thing I ask for. Shivti bevet Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to be in God's house throughout my life. How could he be in God's house all his life? He's got to go home someday. He's got to do work. The idea is that his house should be Beit Hashem. That shivti bevet Hashem, that his house should be a house that fulfills the will of Hashem. And then Shivti Bevet Hashem, then throughout his life you will see the pleasantness of Hashem, and that is Hashem's prime desire with this world. And everyone has this mitzvah of making their mikdash me'at within themselves. I don't know.